the holiday time usually brings families together, and I usually spend a few days around or talking on the phone to my brothers and sisters and Maris and her family and different ones, but mostly my extended family is what I'm talking about, my sisters and cousins and different ones that we come in contact with. And for me, it's always a difficult time to be around my family because I have so little in common with them. And usually the commonality is related to religious beliefs and practices and things like that. And they all have their opinions about things, and I have mine, and many times they're not the same. So we, in the past, I tried to explain my position and what I believe and why I believe it. And of course, now I just try to avoid those discussions because it just leads to an argument eventually, seems. So I try to listen to them and just not comment. That kind of works for them, I guess, but it doesn't work too well for me. I bite my tongue sometimes, So if I am asked about a subject, which I get fewer and fewer of those questions from them, I always try to tell them that what the Bible says, which is, the best thing you can do anyway. And I tell them this, that this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. And you either believe the Bible or you don't. And, you can't argue with that, I guess. Well, you can, but it doesn't go anywhere for them anyway, not in my book. And after I have these discussions and things like that, I always kind of wonder, I thought, how did they get from where they, what I know they came from, to where they are today? How did they get way off in the weeds the way they are, at least it's my opinion they're off in the weeds, and they probably think I am, but and it's just basic stuff sometimes that they get off track on. I mean, way off track on. Doctrines that we believe and practice and live by, and things about salvation and how it happens, and most of them believe that salvation is some work that we do, and I've been taught that salvation is not of works at all. It's a gift from God. It's through grace, His unmerited favor, that we receive salvation from Him. We don't earn it. We don't ask for it. It's just given to us. And I just don't get that, how anybody can read the Bible and get anything different. But the problem is they do reject the Bible. And they don't like what it says to them, so they usually wind up reading a book or something written by some man that says what they want to hear, and that's what they practice. And the man has told them a lie in his book and used scriptures out of context to make his point, and it's what they want to hear, so they believe it. And they reject God's word. And I think, what a blessing. I feel sad for my relatives many times, but I realize what a blessing it is to know the truth of God's word and how we've been taught it my whole life. I can see in my family that, my mother she was saved when I was 2 or 3 years old and started coming to this church and brought me at a very young age. And you can see up through my family the older they are, the less they believe about the word. And so I feel very blessed that the Lord, you know, brought me here at a very young age, and I was taught by sound men throughout my life. And I was raised around sound, solid preaching from God's book. And but God saw fit to instill in me, probably more so than some people that heard his word and departed, but he instilled it in me and put it within my heart to believe these things and to stick with them over the years. And church family, this church, the people in it, over the years have always been a big part of my life, more so than my blood family has been. This is my family here, more so than... I enjoy being around you people and other of God's people more, much, much more than I enjoy being around my siblings and in-laws and different ones. It's just a big part of my life and always has been. And Christian living was preached to me when I was growing up by Brother Titus, of course, and Brother Clark, and Brother Smith, and Brother Hamill, Brother Harry Hilly, Roger Jones, and many more came and stood in this pulpit and preached, and preached the same things Brother Titus preached. And so it was a real blessing. You know, if that many people preach the same thing, you know, God's pretty much got a hand in it. It's my belief. And so I was raised around, and I look back and I think, what a blessing. There's a lot of people don't get that opportunity, you know, to hear good sound preaching when they're young, and consistent preaching. That's the other thing, is consistency. You know, a lot of times some preachers change over time, or they just sort of give up and quit. I've seen that happen as well. And but most of my family have left a big portion of the truth behind. I mean, a lot of them believe that they're saved, and I can't question whether they are or not. It's not for me to question them. We're to look for fruit, and some of them have it, and some of them don't. And some of them have more fruit than others. You know, but that's what we have to go by. We don't know anybody's heart. We can't tell what's in anybody's heart. They either left it behind or they never knew it. And they pursue their own desires. Brother Gordon preached again, and I refer to his sermons on the church that people need. You know, people don't want to hear things that offend them. And many times, you know, I can see it in my family that the truth offends them. And they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to practice the truth. They want to practice what they want to practice. And I don't agree with that. You know, how can you not agree with the Bible? You know, it's in the Bible. It's right in there. I've had one of my sisters tell me, she says, I don't know if I believe in predestination. How can you not believe it? It's in the Bible. You believe the Bible, don't you? How can you not believe something like that? And you call yourself a Christian. Say you're saved. But the Lord just doesn't sometimes give them that wisdom, you know? And so I just feel bad for them that... They get off track. They get messed up because they get offended by God's word, and they don't want to believe the truth. And like I said, they turn from their Bible and they turn to books and religious commentaries and things like that. And you have to be very, very careful, I think, if you're going to read books along those lines. I think there's some books that have a lot of help, a lot of suggestions and things like that. But if you don't know the truth, you can be led astray by that stuff. And My mom's sister is real good at passing out books to people that she hasn't read. You know, this is a good book. You should read this book. But she hasn't read it herself, you know, and she doesn't even know what's in it. But someone told her it was a good book, so she's passing it out. I mean, that's a dangerous thing to do. It's a very dangerous thing to do. You want to pass a book out, pass out the Bible. You know, here, you should read this book. You know, that's the book you should be handing out to people. But they do what they do, and they would rather believe what men have to say than what God has to say to them. And it's just sad. And when you reject God's word, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting what he's trying to teach you. And I believe that in many cases, one of the major contributing factors to this mindset that people get is because they think man has a free will. And I don't believe man has a free will. You may or you may not, but my opinion is, from what I've studied in the Bible, man does not have a free will. They get to thinking when they're told, they were told that God loves them no matter what. And that's a big downfall right there. God does love you no matter what, but there's consequences for disobedience. And that's the part that they're not told. God cares how we serve him. He cares what we do for him and how we do it. He's as particular about how we do for him as much as he's concerned about what we do for him. And they say to me, I was told that God loves me no matter what I do. Once I learned that, I felt free. And then they don't finish the sentence because they say they felt free to do whatever they wanted to do for the Lord. And he would just have to accept it. That's the end of that sentence that they never tell you. And God will just have to, God loves me and he will have to accept what I offer him. That's their attitude. That isn't necessarily what they say, but that's their attitude. The Bible is very clear that God does not accept whatever we offer him. And we're told early on in the Bible that that's the case, and the story of Cain and Abel and their offerings is an example of that. They each offered what they thought the Lord would like, and God accepted one and not the other. That ought to tell you something. God's particular. He's very particular about how we serve him, and he will accept nothing less than what he wants. And I always refer back to building a house. You go to a builder, you hire a builder to build you a home. You have a plan. You give him complete specifications of what you want. You pick out the sinks. You pick out the fixtures. You pick out the flooring, the paint, the colors, everything. And then the builder builds your house. And you come and look, and it's not at all what you expected. It's not even the same design. It's a completely different house. And you say, where's my house? Well, that's your house right there. Well, that's not my house. That's not what I wanted. You know, well, what do you, it's a house. You know, what do you care? It's a house. I built you a house. That's essentially, can you imagine how furious you would be if that happened to you? Especially if you were having it built in a different state or something like that, and you weren't aware necessarily of what they were building. And you show up and it's not at all what you thought it was going to be. But God is aware of what we're doing all the time. And he knows, you know, what he wants, and he sees what we're offering. And it's not what he told us to do. And he's not supposed to be upset. Well, yet we would be furious if someone did that to us. There would be lawsuits all over the place, you know. But yet we expect God to just accept it. Revelations 1 and 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46, 11 says, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. And Isaiah 55 and 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the God that we're telling, I'm going to do it my way. That's a very dangerous thing to say to the Almighty God. And these verses also say that God has predestined events on this earth. He's the beginning and the end. He's declared the end from the beginning. He's spoken it and he will bring it to pass. He's purposed it and he will do it. His ways are higher than my ways or your ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts or your thoughts. God has a plan, okay? And everything that happens is part of his plan. Our lives are intertwined with all the events God has planned from before the earth and heaven were even created. We tend to think that when people reject God's teaching, they seem to wander away from God. But because God knows all of this, he knew they were going to wander away anyway. He knew that. God knew they would do that. We see them floundering in the mess they're in, and we wonder why they can't see the solution, which is to turn to God. They can't figure that out. And we're saying, well, what is the matter with you? We witness to them. We tell them, turn to God. That's what you need in your life is God. And they just can't do it or see it or think it's real or whatever. And then I realize what God has kept me from when I see people that don't get it, you know, and their lives are miserable, even though they don't think they are. The potential for misery is huge in people's lives that turn their back on God or serve him the way they want in their contrived service to God. I know a lot of people that are very religious, but they're religious in their own way. They serve God in their own way, not realizing that God is not going to bless that type of service. Not the way he could, if they would just do it his way. And I realize that what God has kept me from, how he has raised me, how he has shown me the truth, instilled in my heart, and it's such a blessing. It's like, then I get to thinking, why me? You know? Why did he do that for me? And I can't help but praise him for that. And that's kind of the result. That's kind of the reason I see, maybe, why he has let this happen around me, that I will see it and praise him for keeping me from it. In the end, God gets the praise. We can pray for those people and ask God to help them and praise him in the process. He gets the acknowledgement that only he can help these people, and he gets the praise that we thank him for keeping us from it. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything And I don't want to, that's not a word, everything, it's two words. Everything, every object, every bit of what he created was not just good, but it was very good. It's significant. I believe that the highs and lows we experience in our lives are included in the everything that is very good. If you think about it, these experiences that we have, these things that we experience, the highs and the lows, when we're lifted up, God lifts us up and we praise him for that. And when we're low, we turn to him for solace and for help. And he gets the honor and glory for it. So these things are placed in our life to turn us to the Lord. And so they, everything, every event, every experience we have is for our betterment, is for our good. I've heard people say they don't understand why, you know, things are not going their way, you know. And they think that God is punishing them for some reason or other. And it's not always the case. And I draw comfort knowing that everything that I experience in my life, the good things and the bad things, and what I think are bad things anyways, bad things to me, but every experience I have is part of God's plan, and it's for me to grow and to see God in my life. He has for everyone his preordained destiny that God has for everyone will be beautiful when God is ready for it to be. And we read that in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. He says, he hath made everything, two words again, beautiful in his time. Okay? So everything, every event, every bit of our life will be beautiful when God is ready for it to be. He will reveal it to us. What? The things that he has set before us and why he did that. And when we get that understanding in this life, it's just amazing to me. It is. Heartache over the many things in our lives, trouble that comes our way, happiness, whatever it is, wherever it comes from, will be beautiful one day. Things we would never think of as a blessing will be so when God's time for it comes around. And we need to hold on to those things. We need to understand those things. We will thank and praise him for his kindness and long suffering and love towards us. That's an amazing thing to me, is God's love towards us, towards humans in general, but to people that he saves, they understand more, I think, than most people, how much God really loves people, in spite of how despicable we can be. The fact that we're still walking around is a testament to that, because he hasn't taken us out. You know, I believe that, I know, I've heard of certain ones passing away kind of suddenly. And I seriously believe that God has removed them for a reason. I don't know the real reason, but I have my suspicions on some people. And there's other people that are still here on this earth, but I don't want to be around them because I don't want to be collateral damage. You know, it's just better to stay away from them. Because when God does deal with them, he might deal with them in a very bad way. And we've seen that happen. I have seen that happen where someone, God takes someone out, and it has a big ripple effect on a lot of people. Others are injured. It causes heartache in a lot of different places, and I just don't want to be caught up in that. It's almost like a dog fight. When you see a pack of dogs fighting, two of them will start fighting, and the next thing you know, the whole pack is involved in it because it just rolls around and they all get involved in it. Or it's like a brawl you might see on television or something. It just spreads, you know. Two people start throwing punches, and the next thing you know, the whole room's fighting. So that's kind of the way, you know, I look at collateral damage with God. It's just, if you're in the room, if the fight breaks out, you should leave the room, you know. So anyway, best not to go in the room in the first place, I guess. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." People don't get that verse. You know, they think that things were created for them. You know, that this world is for our pleasure. It's not. It's for God's pleasure. We were created for God's pleasure. And we need to remember that. You know, we're not our own. This, God has a plan for everybody. And we need to stay focused on that, and live accordingly. Live your life in anticipation of what God has planned for you. It's getting close to the end of another year. It's usually a time of reflection over the events that fill our lives. And looking back upon them, we can see God's unmistakable plan in our lives. I've done that many times, more so since I've retired than I have all the rest of my life. And I can see, and the Lord has blessed me with a good memory of events in my life, major events in my life, and details about them and things like that. I can see the things that I did at the time, okay? And I thought, boy, that was really smart of me, you know? And I did that when I did it. But that wasn't me doing that. God instilled that in me. He's the one that caused me to make that choice that I made. And this is the result that where I am today. This is a result of God leading me along that path and guiding me. And I always, you know, looking back, in my younger days, I used to think I was a pretty smart guy. But these days I realize that I'm not that smart, you know. But the Lord has taken care of me and bless me, and we go through the high points and low points of our life. When they occur, we're there, you know, we know them, we see them. But when we look back, we recognize that there's absolutely no way, at least me anyways, I look back and I know there's no way that I could have been in control of that and understood it the way I understand it now. And some of those decisions that I thought I made, that God caused me to make, there's no way I could foresee how far-reaching that one particular choice that God made me make, that one thing I picked, there's no way I could have perceived how far-reaching that would be and the effect that it would have over a 30 or 40-year period. And, you know, free will is not something that I believed my entire life. It's something that I've come to believe lately. And I think when we're younger, we think, you know, we are making choices. And then when we're older, we realize we weren't, that God was directing our path. And the more I look back, the more I realized that that wasn't free will at all, that was God directing things. And now I find great comfort in knowing that God directed my life to where it is today. And I have great comfort in knowing that He's caring for me, that He cared for me my entire life, and that He's caring for me now, and that He's going to care for me for however long He leaves me on this earth. Where I am right now with everything that I call mine, which is not really mine, it's what God has allowed me to use while I'm here, but where I am and what I have and the situation I find myself in right now is exactly what God has planned for me. And where you are is exactly what God has planned for you. And believe it or not, it may not feel like it right now, but where you are and what you have is what's best for you, because it's part of God's plan. And we can't improve upon it. It's best for us if we accept it and live accordingly and praise God for what we have and where we are, because it's best. We're under God's care. You can't get any better than that. You can't improve on perfection. And that's what you have when you have some. You have God, who's perfect, omnipotent being, caring for you. You couldn't ask for anything more. We have one job on this earth: worship of God. That's our calling, believe it or not. That's our first calling. And we should focus on that. That shouldn't be an afterthought. That should be what we do every day, what we try to do every day. Everything else we need will be given to us when we need it. And that's God's promise. And you can't improve upon it. Brother Jim?